Movie film roles. A sprocket at the edge becomes the letter I in IFC films. Words appear. Burns Unit. Royal Hobart Hospital, Tasmania. 1979.
Okay, Scott, what happened to you? How'd you burn yourself?
Playing some fire and I had petrol because it was a rainy day and the petrol was too close to the fire and the petrol caught on fire. Then I panicked. And then the petrol can slipped over and it went a real big line of fire on the thing. So, and I jumped in it and it burnt my legs and then I just ran down to the hose and I turned it on and I put it full speed on and I put the fire out. Then I just ran next door.
How's your treatment been? You've had skin grafts, haven't you?
Yes, three.
And has that been okay?
Yes, quite well. It used to be very itchy, but it's okay now.
Are you playing with fire again?
No, I...
Okay, what happened to you? How'd you burn yourself?
I was going up to the bedroom and I wanted to see. I had this light and I had this coloured sky rocket and I wanted to see if the wick went quick, so I lit it and it went fast and I tried to make it go out, but I couldn't and I broke the stick trying to get out, but I couldn't, and it made a hole through my jeans.
You'll be in here for a while longer, won't you?
Yeah, about a week.
Do you think you'll be playing with firecrackers anymore?
Yes.
Don't you think you've learned a lesson from this?
Yes, but I'm still playing with it.
In white capital letters, the title NITRAM appears over black. A suburban neighbourhood. Light peeks through a window of a small single-storey home. Fireworks shoot into the air. They leave a trail of sparks and smoke. In the backyard, a figure stands behind a cloud of smoke and fireworks. A middle-aged woman with short, straight brown hair opens the back door. Scowling, she folds her arms and watches. A young man with shoulder-length, scraggly blonde hair holds a firework. He throws it in the air. The woman looks next door. The young man stares at the smouldering fireworks. The woman looks at him.
Dinner's ready.
A neighbour watches from his porch. NITRAM lights a fuse.
No!
NITRAM raises the firecracker towards the neighbour. NITRAM throws it in the air. In the house, a middle-aged man strokes his grey beard. The woman enters and stands next to the man sitting at the dining room table.
I want you to take them off him.
It's not doing any harm.
NITRAM enters the dining room.
You give those fireworks to your father. One of the neighbours hate us.
NITRAM hands the bag of fireworks to his dad.
Since when do you care what the neighbours think? Anyway, we won't have to worry about that for much longer.
Have you talked to the bank again?
They've agreed to the loan.
Oh. Does that mean we bought it?
No, it means we can buy it. We just have to, get the paperwork sorted out.
Right. How long will that take?
Oh, not long. A few odds and ends.
She looks at NITRAM.
Didn't I tell you to put those trousers in the wash? They're filthy.
NITRAM looks to his dad.
Leave it be.
I'm sorry, we're not eating until he's put them in the wash.
Come on. Take him off and pop him in the wash.
NITRAM stands. He gently pushes the chair in and leaves.
Well, come on, we can start.
Oh, well, wait.
Mum grinds pepper over her plate. She sets the pepper mill on the table. She watches NITRAM approach. She raises her eyebrows. NITRAM's dad smirks. NITRAM, in only his underwear, sits at the table and grabs serving tongs. Daytime, outside a surf shop. NITRAM accidentally kicks a surfboard. It slides down. He picks it up and replaces it in a row with other surfboards. Cigarette in hand, Mum watches from a distance. NITRAM looks at her. She shakes her head. She wears large sunglasses and a gold cross around her neck. NITRAM examines the different surfboards. He holds one and looks at it. He looks at his mum. She takes a drag from a cigarette. He jogs toward her.
It's not enough.
Mum takes a bill from Nitram. She looks at it.
It's money for nothing. What do you expect?
It's the usual amount. What's it not enough for?
They lean against their car. Nitram stares at the surfboards.
Why do you want that? You've never surfed in your life. You don't even swim anymore.
I want it. I scuba dive too.
No, you don't. Not anymore.
Yeah, I do.
All that equipment's just bloody rotting in the shed.
Just keep it safe.
I'm not wasting any more money on another one of your bloody things. I'm your mother, I love you, but surfing's not for you.
Mum gets in the driver's seat. Scowling, Nitram stares at the surfboards. At the ocean, large waves crash. Surfers in wetsuits paddle their surfboards. In slow motion, a surfer stands up on his surfboard and rides the crest of a wave. On the beach, Nitram stands and watches the surfers. He wears grey pants and a thick white sweater. A surfer weaves in and out, just ahead of the crashing wave's white foam. In leather loafers, Nitram stands in a puddle. He glances toward a woman with long brown hair sitting on a rock a short distance away. He walks slowly toward her. He stares at the sand. She looks away. His long blonde hair blows in the wind.
What's your name?
He looks at her.
It's Riley.
It's a pretty name.
Thanks.
Riley smiles and looks away. She takes her towel and walks toward a surfer approaching them. She kisses the surfer.
Who's your friend?
No idea.
Hey, Jamie.
The surfer smiles at Nitram.
You surf here a lot?
The surfer puts his arm around Riley. She scowls towards Nitram. Nitram watches the couple walk away. At the house in the yard, Mum leans against the wall. She smokes. Bees enter and exit through a crack in the bricks of the wall near the roof. Mum takes a puff of her cigarette. She turns and looks through a window. Nitram exits the house. Nitram enters the garage. He walks past the car to the lawnmower. At the front of the house, Nitram pushes the lawnmower down the driveway. He rolls it onto the street. Nitram knocks on the door of the house across the street. He brushes the hair off his face and puts it behind his ear. He inspects his hand. A woman holding a young girl opens the door.
Hello?
I'm starting a lawnmower business. Would you like a lawn cut?
Oh, no, thank you. No, thanks. My husband does that one for us.
How much does he charge?
It's my husband, so it's free.
Oh.
It's his house.
You want me to wait till he comes?
You could do that, or you could... There's a few houses down that way as well, so you wanted to go and have another knock.
Yeah, but yours needs it too.
Thank you. Have a great day. Can you please remove your foot? Thank you. Sorry.
Have a good day.
Nitram stares down. In a small park, Nitram stands on a swing. He swings back and forth. Nitram walks out of the park. He carries a bag of fireworks. He places part of his shirt over his mouth and swings the bag. Boys in their school uniforms watch Nitram jump over shooting sparks. The boys stand on the other side of a metal fence. Nitram watches them from behind the fireworks.
Oh my God.
Dad drives towards Nitram. Nitram hands the boys fireworks. A man wearing a tie approaches from behind the boys.
Get inside.
What's wrong?
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
How'd you be letting off fireworks outside of school, Nitram?
It's not appropriate.
Hey, stop it. Stop it.
Get in the car.
Get in the car.
We used to go to school together.
I know. Get in the car. Get in the car. I'm really fucking sorry.
He just needs something else to do. Right? You know, he can't just be hanging around. I know.
I promise it won't happen again.
All right.
Okay. Nitram sits in the car pressing the horn.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop!
Dad retrieves the fireworks from the grass. The schoolboys watch from a distance. Nitram bangs the side of the car with his hand. Dad throws the bag in the back and enters the driver's side.
Stop! I told you! Stop!
He holds Nitram's arms. Nitram rocks violently.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
What's wrong with him? He hates me.
He doesn't hate you.
Hey!
He just cannot have his students playing with fireworks at lunchtime. Stop it!
Nitram pulls his hands away.
Mom told me to do something.
Not this. Just...
Did you tell her?
No, of course not.
Did you tell her?
I'd be in trouble if I told her that I gave them back to you.
They're my friends, though.
I know. I know that you're friends.
They're my friends.
I know that you're friends.
They like
But you have to promise me. I can't keep my eye on you all the time. Okay? I tell you what. We'll go for a nice drive. All right? That's what we need to do. We need to go for a nice bike drive. All right?
Okay. The white four-door car drives down a dirt road in the middle of a large field with short green grass. Nitram hangs his head out of the car window. He looks around. He rests his chin on his hand. The wind blows his unruly blonde hair. Dad drives toward an open gate. On a sign, Seascape. He drives through the gate. He drives through more grass fields and alongside a body of water. He stops the car a short distance from a main house and small group of cottages behind a fence.
Beautiful, eh? Be a good tourist guide for the mainland. Good money. Gonna help me run it, right?
Smiling, Nitram nods.
Yeah, good.
We have animals?
What kind?
Farm animals.
Chicken?
No.
Got eggs?
No, cows.
What is the eggs?
Cows.
Cow? What do you know about cows?
Nothing. What do you know about cows?
Nothing.
You silly boy. Oh, silly boy.
Yeah. You know, if one day you settle down or something, you could have kids, good place to bring them up.
Nitram nods.
This place will be yours one day.
They look at the main house and cottages.
I really want this one, mate.
They look at each other. Nitram smiles slightly. In a doctor's office, Nitram wears a stethoscope. It's pressed against his own heart. He stares out the window.
Thanks for coming in today. I know it can be hard for you guys to make it in. Look, I was wondering how you were going.
How he's going. You're taking your medications? Tricyclic, antidepressant, once a day? Are they calming?
He's run out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They calm him.
Yeah?
It makes life easier.
Makes life easier for him or for you?
Everyone.
So I wondered if he was at a point where we could stop the tablets.
He needs his tablets.
A way to help, not just with the medication, might be to see someone to talk about things.
So are you talking to me and Mum?
You silly.
Oh.
You getting any side effects from the tablets? Are you feeling normal on them?
Nitram squeezes his eyes shut. He pulls himself forward in the chair and bends over.
All right.
Look, we need a new letter from you. Because otherwise Centrelink will stop his pension payments.
That's right. First of all, I'll do the script for the medication. You know the tricyclic, that you've got to take it every day.
Nitram stands.
And that'll keep your mood good and stable.
He looks out the window. The doctor hands Mum the prescription.
Now, Carlene, how are you coping with all of this? Are you going all right?
I'm fine.
Yeah. Remember, you can come and see me as well to talk about things.
No, I'm good.
They watch the doctor writing. At home, Nitram sits in front of the TV. He twists off the top of a pill bottle. Nitram opens his eyes. He looks at the TV. He takes a pill. Yes, there is one game. Outside the house, Nitram stretches his hand upward near where the bees are entering the wall. Bees hover under the patio's clear plastic roof. In the living room, Mum lies fully dressed on the plastic-covered couch. She opens her eyes. Outside, Nitram pushes the lawnmower down the sidewalk. He walks along a tall white picket fence. He peers over it. Nitram places his hands over the fence. He rests his chin on it. He listens. Nitram pushes his mower up a driveway toward a house. A small four-door yellow Volvo is parked in front of the house. Inside the house, a record plays on a turntable. A woman holds a cat. She watches Nitram approach. Nitram walks along the veranda to a glass door. Inside the house, the woman holding the cat approaches the door. Three dogs join her. The middle-aged woman opens the door. Nitram smiles.
I'm starting a lawnmower business. Would you like your lawn cut?
I don't know.
She looks around. She gives a quick smile. She looks back at Nitram.
Is that your cat?
This is Gilbert.
Hello, Gilbert. Meow. Hello, Gilbert.
Nitram pats the cat's head.
Soft.
The woman looks away from Nitram.
It is a bit unruly, isn't it?
She looks around. She looks at Nitram.
How long will you take?
I'll be real quick.
There's a lot. There's more out the back.
It's okay. I'm a hired worker.
She nods.
Okay. Come in.
Do you cut a lot of people's lawns?
Oh, yeah, loads. I'm really good at it. Do you like me to close the door?
Oh, yes, please.
In the yard, Nitram, shirtless, adjusts the throttle. From the second-story bedroom window, the woman stares at him. Nitram pulls on the mower's starter rope. He stomps on the mower. The woman grins. She stifles a laugh. Beside her, a Great Dane lies on an ottoman. He tugs on the starter rope of the lawnmower. A pack of dogs run out of the house and past Nitram. The woman follows them out. Hands in her pockets, she walks towards Nitram, a bulldog by her side.
It's not working.
She shrugs her shoulders.
It's not working.
Nitram's hair covers his face.
I'm sorry.
Never mind.
She wears a short-sleeved T-shirt with a teddy bear and kittens on it over a long-sleeved turtleneck. She looks around.
Do you walk dogs?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe you could come back tomorrow and walk my babies for me.
Okay.
The woman smiles at Nitram.
I'm Helen.
She extends a hand.
My hands are dirty.
Okay. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. I'm really sorry.
Doesn't matter.
Daytime. On a suburban street, Nitram is pulled along the sidewalk by 9 dogs on leashes. Helen watches from the second floor window. Nitram is pulled across the lawn by the dogs. She waves and taps on the window. In the kitchen, Helen holds a plate piled with steaks. She taps it with a knife. At the back door, she dangles a steak and the dogs enter. Nitram carries a black and white Australian Shepherd into the house and places him on the floor. Helen hands Nitram a raw steak.
Just get the door.
Nitram leads another dog into the house, pulling on a steak in the dog's mouth. Helen takes down a large glass jar of cash from a shelf. Smiling, Nitram watches. Helen removes some cash and hands it to Nitram. A small bird stands on a windowsill frame inside the house, looking out the window. In the cluttered living room of the old Victorian house, Nitram examines a crack running from the floor to the high ceiling. Helen watches him from the hallway. Nitram lifts the needle arm off a record. He looks at newspaper clippings taped to the wall. A headline, local theatre sales with the Pirates of Penzance. He looks at a framed vintage poster for the Mikado. Nitram stands in front of an upright piano.
Do you play?
Nitram looks at her and shakes his head.
Nothing. Not even chopsticks. Everyone can play chopsticks.
Helen places a chair next to the piano bench.
All you need is 2 fingers. That's it.
They sit.
And you make them look like chopsticks. Mm-hmm. And you put them here.
Nitram's fingers extended. She holds his hands.
This one moves to the E.
Nitram stares at Helen. Smiling, she focuses on the piano keys.
You did it. Now you can tell people you can play the piano.
Helen smiles at Nitram. They look into each other's eyes. Helen's smile fades. She looks away. Nitram looks at a fly.
You look like a movie star.
I was on telly once.
Really? When?
When I was little, I burnt my hands playing fireworks, so a TV lady came. Asked me loads of questions.
You're famous.
No, not anymore.
They look at each other. In an upstairs bedroom.
These were my father's.
Helen removes a jacket from a large wooden wardrobe. Nitram stands. She places the jacket on him. He faces her and buttons the jacket. Helen nods.
Very nice. You look like a businessman.
Helen's yellow Volvo stops in front of a brick building. Helen and Nitram enter a car showroom.
My father used to take me driving in his convertible when I was little. I used to desperately want to be a racing car driver. Do you like this?
Nitram nods. A salesman watches.
Here she is. Good old Helen. Helen, you're back. Good to see you. How are you?
It's beautiful. Isn't you?
C-class. Driver and passenger airbag. Want to take it for a spin?
How's it feeling, Helen?
It's lovely.
Driving nicely?
Beautiful.
Are you comfortable? Yeah? That'd be the power steering.
Nitram pushes the buttons.
It's the sunroof.
Yeah, absolutely. Button's just there.
Yeah, I know. And this one. These are the lights.
Yeah, just there.
Look at that, Helen.
Safe as houses, Helen.
Yeah, safe as houses.
Driver, passenger airbags.
How's the steering?
Nitram grabs the steering wheel.
Stop it, mate. Don't be stupid.
Don't call me stupid, mate. You have trouble before you buy, Helen.
Nitram grins.
Stop it.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Listen to her. Hey, stop it now. Helen, pull over.
He's just excited.
Pull over now.
Just excited.
Stop it. Pull over.
I'm pulling over.
Pull over. Fuck's sake.
Sorry, he's looks up.
What's wrong?
You shouldn't do that.
That's it. We're done. Out. Out now. Get out. Out. That's enough.
Nitram presses his grinning face against the closed window.
Get out!
At the showroom, Helen stands at the counter. She fills in a form on a clipboard. Nitram sits in the floor model of a classic luxury car. He plays with the dashboard. The salesman leans in and pushes Nitram's head against the steering wheel.
Having fucking fun? Having fun? Next time she's here, you make sure you're not, you fucking little retard. You fuck with one of my cars again, I will fuck with you. You got it? You got it?
The salesman puts his hands in his pockets.
All good? Thanks for coming back. Enjoy. Can't wait, huh? Good luck. Great to see you again, Helen.
Okay. Helen smiles at Nitram through the open car window.
Hey.
Hey.
Got you a present. Volvo is yours.
Thank you.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Are you rich?
Yeah, I suppose I am.
How come?
You've heard of Tatch Lotto?
Nitram nods.
I own it.
Nitram nods. Helen walks away. She waves to the salesman. Nitram watches from the car. At Helen's house, Nitram and Helen sit on the lawn, surrounded by the dogs.
On a tree by a river, a little Tom Tit.
Little Tom Tit?
Mm-hmm. Sat. Sang willow, tit willow, tit willow. And I said to him, Dickie Bird, why do you sit?
Tit willow.
Singing tit willow, tit willow, tit willow. Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cried, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied,
Tit willow.
At Nitram's house, the yellow Volvo is parked in the driveway. Nitram carries a surfboard. He secures it with bungee cords to the roof. Inside the house, Mum places food on the dining room table. Dad sits on a couch reading a newspaper in the adjacent living room. Nitram walks in.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, man.
Hey, Mum.
Hi, love.
Dad gets off the couch. In the kitchen, Nitram embraces Mum. She stiffens, holding knives and forks in her hands. He lets go. She grimaces.
When did you last wash that hair? It's too long.
I'm growing it long.
Wish I had long hair.
I'll make an appointment for you tomorrow.
I'm not cutting my hair.
Ah, you will. Yeah, you'll cut it.
Right, I won't.
Yes, you are.
Mum leaves the kitchen carrying dinner plates and silverware. Nitram looks at the floor. Dad watches Nitram.
You know, I don't want to live here anymore.
It's just too bad you got nowhere else to go.
Helen says I can live with her.
Who?
Who's Helen, mate?
She's a singer and an actress.
Nitram lifts a duffel bag.
And she has a house with heaps of spare rooms, so it's okay.
You know what he's talking about?
Dad shakes his head. Mum walks slowly into Nitram's room. She watches him pull clothing from his wardrobe. He puts the clothes on the bed.
You're sleeping with this woman?
He folds them and places it in his duffel bag.
She's my friend.
Mum walks to the window. She looks outside.
What's that?
It's my new car.
Mum walks to the door. She turns around.
Did she give you that?
Helen gives me whatever I want.
Oh, does she?
Yes, she does.
Mum shares a look with Dad. She looks at Nitram.
Oh. You all right?
She approaches him and touches his arm. Nitram holds his hand on his forehead. Mum pulls his hair back, revealing a protruding vein on his forehead. He stares at the bed. He throws the duffel bag against the wall.
All right. Now, where you go then? Go on. Go on off to your fancy friend.
I ain't living here.
Well, I'll be glad to see you. To see the back of you.
Mum follows him to the door. Nitram slams the door behind him. He carries his duffel bag to the Volvo. He throws the duffel bag in the back seat. Nitram backs the car out of the driveway. Mum stares at the door. She puts a hand on her hip. She takes a deep breath.
Why do you always have to push it? You push it to the edge. You always push it.
And walks past Dad into the kitchen.
I'll see if I can get him.
He'll be back. No one can live with that boy but us.
At Helen's house, she wears fake flowers and chopsticks in her hair, along with large earrings and smeared red lipstick. Staring forward, her eyes fill with tears. Helen looks, breaks her gaze, and turns. She wipes her face. The Volvo comes to a stop in front of the veranda. Helen walks out of the house. She wears a long red gown. The dogs run around. With a blank stare, she watches Nitram exit the car. He carries two duffel bags. He pats a Great Dane.
I live here now.
Okay.
Helen walks into the house. Nitram retrieves the keys from the car. He puts them in his pocket, then takes the duffel bags from the ground.
More babies!
Nitram follows the dogs into the house. In a bedroom, Nitram removes a rifle from his duffel bag on the bed. He straightens the folded barrel and places it in a wardrobe. Helen enters carrying sheets.
I brought you some sheets. This was my room. Hop down.
She places the cat on the bed. Nitram picks up the cat and holds it close to his chest.
She likes you.
Nitram kisses the cat's head.
I'll let you two get to know each other.
Helen leaves. Nitram walks down the stairs wearing a black t-shirt and underwear. A vintage movie shows a bus with Los Angeles on its destination sign. City of Los Angeles is written on a twin-prop aeroplane. An actress gawks at the Grumman's Chinese Theatre. Sitting on a couch, Helen watches the large-screen TV. She pats a small dog lying next to her. Nitram peeks in from the hallway. He holds a glass of water.
Scared us.
Nitram takes a pill and washes it down.
What are you doing?
We're just watching a movie. Something wrong?
Just wanted to say goodnight.
Nitram walks into the room.
Have you got a headache?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you taking pills?
Mum says they help.
With what? Are you sick?
No, I just get sad sometimes.
Helen looks down.
Night, Helen.
Night.
Nitram leaves. Helen pats another dog. Daytime. Nitram pulls a rose branch. Helen snips the pink roses. Nitram holds his head out of the car window. The wind blows through his hair. He smiles. Helen drives the new car down a winding road through a lush, green, tree-filled landscape. The trees border the shore of an inlet. From above, the shoreline of a park and restaurant. Tables and umbrellas sit in front of the main building. Buses and cars fill the grass parking lot. Helen and Nitram walk past the picnic tables with umbrellas toward the restaurant. She wears a fur jacket. Nitram wears a light blue suit, a vest and a tie. Mum and Dad sit at a table. Nitram and Helen enter the restaurant. Nitram carries the pink roses. Nitram walks quickly toward them and hands Mum the flowers.
Pick this for you.
Thank you. Oh, I love it.
Helen, Helen, Mum, Dad.
Right. Wet.
Yeah, it's because they're fresh.
Helen and Nitram sit down at the table.
I've heard a lot about you.
See you, love.
Mum hands Nitram a gift.
I like the colours.
Nitram opens the wrapping. He removes a pair of boxer shorts. They are decorated with the Earth and other planets. He stands and puts them on over his pants.
You look like a superhero.
Sexy.
I've got you something too.
Helen hands Nitram a small box.
It's our star sign. You know, our birthdays are only 9 days apart.
No, I didn't.
Oh, bull monk.
A waitress kneels next to Helen.
Do you want me to bring the cake out now?
Maybe after. Thank you, sweetheart.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
I've got him something else too.
More gold?
Something sweet I know he'll like.
Oh, goodness, you know a lot about my son.
Can you live with someone?
Helen looks at Mum. Nitram looks at Dad. Dad looks at the table.
What exactly is going on here?
Sorry, I don't know what you mean.
He mows your lawn, you buy him a car. He mows it again, he moves in with you. What's next, marriage?
He needed a car.
He doesn't have a license.
I didn't know that.
Helen looks at Nitram.
Yes, well, I guess you don't know everything. Don't you have your own children?
No.
What about a husband? So, which is he? A husband or a son?
Dear, we came here to get to know our son's friend.
And I'm trying to do that. Which is it?
Nitram and Dad stare at the table. Mum and Helen stare at each other. Outside, Nitram and Dad pose with people in 1800s garb. Dad puts his hand on Nitram's shoulder. With his other hand, he clutches the collar of a man dressed as a convict. In the restaurant, Mum sits opposite Helen. She takes a drink from a glass of water.
Do you have a problem with me?
No. I've got a question. Why him? What do you like about my son?
He's considerate. And helpful. Funny. He's a special man. And a dear friend.
When he was a little boy, we used to play a game at the fabric shop in town. He'd go off and hide in all the big, tall rolls of fabric, and then I'd try and find it. It was about five. He loved it. I loved it. We used to play a lot of games.
That sounds beautiful.
But then there's one day, I went to find him, and he wasn't there. He lived everywhere. Not in the silks, not in the cottons. Nowhere. I just couldn't find him. Ran into all the shops, strangers were stopping to help me. I looked for him for over an hour. Tears streaming down my face. I was hysterical. Well, you know, I mean, that's the worst thing, isn't it? A mother losing a child.
What did you do?
I gave up and went back to the car. I was going to drive to the police station. But then I heard someone laughing. I looked around. And there he was, lying on the floor of the back seat, looking up at me, laughing. Laughing at my pain. Laughing like it was the funniest thing in the world.
Mum raises her eyebrows. They stare at each other. Helen looks away. Dad and Nitram approach the table.
No, I could have probably jumped
right. You could jump right. Sit down.
Nitram bends over to blow out the candles on his cake. Helen and Dad hold his hair away from the flames. Nitram and Dad sit on a bench in a lobby. A briefcase stands on the floor between Dad's legs. On the wall behind him are photos of homes.
You did promise me you were going to help run it.
Nitram nods. He scratches his head. He looks at Dad. Nitram rubs Dad's shoulder.
Hi, Maurice.
Hi.
How are you going? I tried to call. It's about Seascape.
Yeah, no, I've got everything. Sorry it took so long.
There's been a change of plans.
What do you mean?
The B&B sold. Another couple bid on the property. Theirs was larger than yours. I wanted to save you the trouble of coming down.
Why wouldn't I come here?
The vendor took the bigger offer, so the B&B sold, just not to you.
You told me that the place was mine.
Yeah, for a while it was. But while we were waiting for you to organise financing, a new offer came in.
Can't I match it?
No, the paperwork's already gone through. Well, I promise to keep my eye out for something else.
Yeah.
Well, take care. I'll call you later.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Dad watches her walk away. He looks at the floor, then glances around.
Come on, mate. Let's go find another one.
Dad leaves. Nitram stands. He walks to the glass doors. He watches his father get in the car. Dad sits, tightly gripping the steering wheel. He squeezes his eyes shut. Nitram stares at his father. He looks at the receptionist sitting behind the counter. Nitram takes a jar of mints from the bench. He opens it and dumps the mints on the floor. At Helen's house, outside, Nitram shoots a trailer window with a BB gun. Nitram loads his rifle and aims. He widens the bullet hole with another shot. Nitram loads the rifle again. His face is red. He wears the bull pendant that Helen gave him. He aims the rifle at the window. Helen watches from inside the house. With a furrowed brow, she walks away. He aims the rifle at the window of the old metal camper. Helen walks quickly towards Nitram.
What's that?
What?
In your hand.
He shoots at the trailer.
It's my air rifle.
Where'd it come from?
Dad got me when I was a kid.
Get rid of it. I don't want it here.
Helen shakes her head and walks back in the house. Nitram glares at her. He looks at the ground. A tear drips to the tip of his nose. He looks at the sky. He walks towards the house. Nitram enters the house. Helen sits at a pool table used as her desk. They look at each other.
Can you buy me a real gun?
I beg your pardon?
This one's boring.
No. I don't like them.
But I want it and you have the money.
That doesn't matter. It's my money.
Then I'll use my own money then after I've had the loans.
Not for buying a gun, you won't. I won't pay you if that's what you're going to spend it on. I don't want guns in my house.
But it's for our protection.
I've lived 50 years without any protection. I don't need any now.
Eyes wide, she raises her eyebrows. Nitram stares at her. He grins and walks outside. Helen swallows. Night time. Nitram stands in Helen's bedroom doorway.
Helen,
in pyjamas, reads a book in bed.
Helen, it's me.
Nitram takes a small step into the room.
Sorry, Helen.
Nitram moves closer. He holds a pamphlet.
You don't have to give me a gun anymore. We can go to Hollywood. They make our favourite movies.
He holds out the pamphlet. Helen reaches for it. She looks at it.
You really want to go to America?
Well, I'm supposed to go. Like a family. Like a real family.
Nitram lies on the bed, his head near her shoulder.
Fine. I'll go to the travel agent in the morning.
Okay.
Nitram blows a raspberry on Helen's neck. Nitram bounces her on the bed. Daytime.
My eyes are fully open.
Helen drives a new car. Nitram in the passenger seat.
Tell him I forgot my forgotten moral sessions and I didn't take any for any consequences. So I do not want to perish by the sword or by the dagger. I'm not a man dodgy, it is pardonable to other. Flattery, my sin with flatter, but I've got to die tomorrow, so it really doesn't matter. 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 Matter, 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 matter.
Can we go first class?
Maybe.
You should treat yourself, Helen. You deserve it. Can we go to New York? Mum and Dad have always wanted to go to New York.
I think it would be too much to go to New York in 1 week.
Yeah.
But we can go another time.
Paris?
Nitram grabs the steering wheel. He grabs the steering wheel. The car swerves into the oncoming lane. A truck veers off the road. The car rolls over. Strapped in their seats, Nitram and Helen advance violently. The car comes to a rest in a field. Nitram and Helen sit slumped in their seats, Helen's head on the steering wheel, shattered glass sprinkled on the dashboard. Blood drips from her bottom lip. Nitram's eye moves behind bloody eyelids. He slowly opens it. In a hospital room, Nitram slowly opens his eye. Dad and Mum sit in the room.
Where's Helen?
There was an accident.
Uh-huh. What happened?
Well, she died, love.
The police want to have a chat with you,
son.
They want to know what happened.
Why?
Well, were you speeding?
I don't know what happened.
No? Just said...
I was asleep.
You were asleep?
Tell them I was asleep.
Well, I'll talk to them. You just relax, all right?
Dad leaves the room. Dad speaks to a police officer standing outside the room. Nitram, in a neck brace, stares straight ahead. His face reddens. A vein protrudes from his forehead. A nurse runs to Nitram. Mum puts a hand on Nitram's leg.
That's right, mate, just calm down. Calm down, mate.
Daytime. Nitram walks up the driveway towards Helen's house carrying a duffel bag. The Volvo, with a surfboard on the roof, is parked in front and next to the veranda. Inside, Nitram lowers a needle onto a spinning record. He turns a dial. The upright piano rests with an open book of sheet music on it and an empty bench in front. Helen's empty bed, items strewn about. Pink roses catch the light in a vase near the window. Vintage clothing hangs from clothing racks. In the living room, the pool table sits covered with books and other items. Nitram lies on his back on the floor, his eyes closed. The Great Dane sniffs at him. The other dogs walk about. Dirt and pottery shards litter the floor near Nitram's head. Nitram opens his eyes. Nighttime, at a pub. People dance on the dance floor. Nitram sits at a table. He watches them. The dancers leave the dance floor and head to the bar. Nitram turns toward them. He looks forward. He stares off. Nitram walks slowly towards the bar. He finds an empty spot and leans against the bar.
$8, mate.
The bartender serves Nitram a drink. Nitram moves his long hair, revealing his scarred face. The surfer, Jamie, stands at the bar near Nitram.
Yes, mate.
Nitram looks at Jamie.
$2.20.
$10.
Ten?
Ten.
I got it.
Nitram looks at the bartender. Jamie smiles at Nitram. He watches Nitram remove the cash from his wallet and pay the bartender.
Shit, thanks, mate.
No problem.
I know your face, man.
I heard it.
Did you?
Yeah. Surfing.
I'm Jamie. Cheers.
I know.
You know I'm Jamie?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Nitram holds his palm in front of his mouth and wiggles his tongue at it. Nitram smiles at Jamie, whose mouth hangs open.
From the neck, eh?
Yeah.
Fuck, I guess your face looked different, eh?
Not that much.
Do you want to smoke?
Nitram nods.
Well, come on.
Okay. Hey, Nitram. The change, mate.
Jamie's smile disappears. In the parking lot, in the Volvo, Jamie smokes from a bong made from a bottle. He exhales through his nose and mouth.
Two of the bubbles.
You can do the rest. I think you... It's all gone. I think you used it. I got a little bit.
Knit ram.
Don't call me that.
Why not?
People at school used to call me. I don't like it. That's all.
So why they call you that? Do you have nits?
No. That's what it sounds like.
You do, don't you?
No.
Jamie flicks strands of Nitram's hair. Jamie smiles at Nitram.
Yeah, maybe me and you should surf sometime.
Okay.
I like that. You and me.
Jamie leans his head to the side. A young woman leaves the pub. She stands in front of the door and lights a cigarette.
Look at her. Do you have a lady?
No.
Then you should go talk to her. You should.
What would I say?
You tell her she looks hot. You ever done that to a girl before?
No.
Go on, man. She's hot.
The young woman puffs her cigarette.
She's hot.
Go on.
Not funny.
Tesla.
Jamie exits the car. Nitram glares at him. He watches Jamie talk to the young woman. Jamie puts his arm around her shoulder. Jamie and the young woman enter the pub. Nitram throws the bottle from the car at Helen's house. Nitram plays with the record player. His mouth pressed against the arm of a couch, he stares at the spinning vinyl. He moves the needle. Daytime. Mum walks on Helen's pine needle-covered driveway. Mum enters through the open glass front door. She closes it behind her. She takes a few steps into the entryway. Nitram shuts the record player off. Mum peers at him from the doorway. Nitram sits on the couch. He opens a candy bar.
How are you?
Nitram throws the wrapper on the floor. He eats the chocolate.
Have you been taking your medication?
Why are you here?
Your father wants to see you. He's, he's not very well.
What's wrong with him?
Why don't you go and put your shoes on? How are you even still here? I mean, didn't she have any family? Surely they want their house back.
It's mine. She gave it to me.
What?
Helen gave me everything.
An overcast sky looms over Nitram's parents' house. Dad lies on the couch, his arms wrapped around a pillow. Mum walks in. She looks down at him.
Your son's here. You should know Helen left him $500,000 and everything she owned.
Nitram stands in the doorway. Mum looks at him.
Make us some tea.
Mum walks into the kitchen. Nitram slowly approaches his father on the couch.
Mum says you're six as you won't leave the house anymore. Is that true?
Dad stares ahead.
I'm still...
Nitram kneels and strokes Dad's hair.
I'm still looking for property.
I can buy you whatever you want, Dad. I can buy you whatever you want.
Mum listens in the doorway. She steps inside the room and sits.
Let's go for a drive.
Nitram kneels, face to face with Dad. Dad stares into space.
You're scaring me.
Nitram strokes his father's hair. Dad lies motionless. Nitram slaps Dad's face. Nitram kicks him in the leg. Mum stands in the dining room table and watches. Dad grabs Nitram's arms. They struggle.
It's okay.
Nitram sits on top of his father and punches him in the face. Mum watches from the doorway.
Get off me! You hit me! You hit me! You hit me! You promised me to get up! Promise to get up! I'll get up! I'll get up!
Nitram helps him up.
Good job. Let me get my glass. I promise. I'll come. I promise. Okay. Let me help you.
Nitram helps Dad put his glasses on.
Oh, come on. Okay. It's okay.
He pats Nitram on the shoulder and walks away. Mum leans on the doorframe. Dad leans against the wall in the hallway. Nitram sits on the coffee table. He looks at Mum.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you do.
Nitram drives a yellow Volvo across a large field of grass. He follows the tyre path toward a row of trees. Nitram drives towards the seascape cottages. Nitram stops the car. In the main house, an elderly couple sits at the dining room table. The man reads, and the woman fills in a crossword puzzle. Nitram approaches the veranda. The bay behind him. He carries a duffel bag and steps onto the veranda. Nitram knocks on the front window, startling the couple. He waves and knocks on the front door. He looks at them. The man walks to the front door.
Yeah?
Yeah. This is for you.
What's for me?
I'm a businessman. This is for you.
Okay, but what is this for us? What do you need? What do you want?
It's not all of it.
All of what?
Most of it, and I'll pay you the rest, I promise.
Look.
See?
Money?
Yeah.
Yeah, but for what?
Is this for you?
No, stop. What?
What did I just say? For the place.
The place? No. Our place, we live here. This is not for sale. We live here.
We saw it first, though.
What do you mean you saw it first?
We saw it first. We were supposed to buy it and you guys came in with a bigger offer.
But we live here. This is our property.
This is our home.
We own it. It's ours.
Just take the money.
It's not your property. It's our home.
No.
Don't get like that.
I'm not getting like anything.
We don't want to sell you the house. I don't want you here. No. I want you off the property now.
Just take the money.
We're going to ring the police.
Just take the fucking money.
Please
take the fucking money.
No. No.
Get him out.
Piss off.
Police.
Nitram reverses in the Volvo. He drives a Volvo across the field and stops at the seascape gate. He closes the trunk. He carries a steering wheel lock. He walks towards the gate. He smashes a mailbox. At the shore, Nitram stands on flat, wet rocks. He holds one end of the surfboard under his arm. He stares ahead motionless. In the ocean, Jamie surfs. He wears a black wetsuit. Nitram stares at him. Nitram's hair blows in the wind. Shirtless, Nitram in a bathing suit carries the surfboard into the ocean toward the other surfers. The other surfers wait on their boards. Nitram lies on the board. A wave crashes over him. He struggles. Jamie catches a wave and stands up on his board. He climbs the curve of the wave to the crest, turns and surfs down the opposite direction. Nitram struggles to stay on his board. The foam of the wave covers him. The board flips on top of him. He grabs onto the board. Another wave crashes over him. On the beach, Nitram crawls over to his board. He stands and picks it up. He holds the board and leans his head against it. His body shakes. Police drag a body from a small pond. Mum stands watching, her arms folded. A policewoman stands beside her writing in a notebook. The wind blows the tall grass. Nitram sits in his Volvo with a blank stare. The policewoman approaches. She opens the car door.
Do you mind if I sit?
She sits in the passenger seat.
I was chatting to your mum before. She said she thought Dad had seemed a little bit out of sorts recently. Had you noticed him acting differently at all?
Very quiet, that's all.
Were you close with your dad?
Nitram nods. He watches his father's body being carried away.
You might want to go and have a chat to your mum, and I'll come and ask you a few more questions a bit later.
The men carry the body toward an awaiting ambulance. The policewoman exits the car. Nitram looks at his mother standing near the ambulance. She wears a black sweatshirt with a hood over her head. At Helen's house, Nitram sits naked on the floor of a bedroom. He rubs his face against the head of a small dog. Its tail wags. Nitram puts on an embroidered white shirt. He adjusts the gold bull pendant over a necktie. At a church.
Excuse me.
Mum walks towards the entrance. Nitram walks quickly towards the door. He wears the light blue suit and a black gambler's hat with a blue ribbon around it and a strap under his chin.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
What?
Get that off.
What?
She takes his hat off.
What is that? Who comes to his father's funeral dressed like a clown?
I'm not dressed like a clown, I'm dressed nice.
You are not going to embarrass me today.
He holds his tie.
Look, it's got wolves on it. In the forest.
Is this funny to you?
No.
Go. You're not going to roll today.
No, I need to say goodbye to Dad.
Nitram moves to embrace her.
Go.
She steps back.
Okay.
Nitram slowly walks out the door. He stares at the ground. He sees his father's casket in the hearse. Nitram places his hat on the flowers that cover the casket. He looks at his mother and stands up straight. He buttons his jacket. She rubs her chin, tears well in her eyes. In the parking lot, Nitram drives the Volvo in circles, kicking up dust. Nitram drives down a country road. On the dashboard are a compact case and a pink scrunchie. In his blue suit, without the tie, Nitram enters a travel agency. He approaches a woman sitting at a desk. She types on a computer.
Excuse me.
Good afternoon. How are you? Please have a seat. How can I help you?
I'd like to go away.
You'd like to go away? Sure. Whereabouts would you like to go? What state or country were you in?
Helen and I were going to go to Los Angeles.
You'd like to go to Los Angeles?
To America.
To America, yep, absolutely. And when were you thinking of going?
Now.
Now?
Yeah.
As in today?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay, let me have a look and I'll see what I can find for you.
Okay. First class.
Oh, first class?
Yeah, first class.
Okay, let's just have a look. Yep, I've got a really good 7-night package here, including hire, car, hotel. Oh,
this enough?
Oh, yes, that's plenty. Thank you very much. Full buffet breakfast. Would you like me to book that one for you?
I'm a businessman.
You're a businessman. Do you travel a lot?
Yeah. We were going to go first class.
You're going with somebody?
Tears well in his eyes.
Or you're just going on your own? You said we.
Would you like to come?
Would I like to come with you?
Yeah, you can come with me. I could buy you a ticket.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm way too busy.
It's okay. I understand.
I'm sure you could take a friend with you or a partner. So is it just for one person?
He nods.
Yep. Okay, no problem. We'll book that in for you.
Through a handheld video camera, an aeroplane toilet seat is lowered. A hand reaches into the small metal sink. In the mirror, Nitram records his reflection. He moves the lens up to the mirror. Bubbles float to the top of a champagne tulip glass, mixed nuts in a bowl. In a car, the Hollywood sign gets closer and closer. Nitram videos himself pointing towards the Hollywood sign. He zooms in on his shoes, standing on Burt Reynolds' Walk of Fame. He videos the Grumman Chinese Theatre. In a souvenir shop, a keychain resembling a Walk of Fame star with the name Helen written on it. Nitram looks at an array of snow globes. He shakes one with Los Angeles written on the base. He drives past the sign for Beverly Hills. At Helen's house, the video plays on a tube TV. People dance on roller skates. Nitram videos himself looking into the camera. Nitram sits slouched in a leather chair, the video camera in his lap. He struggles to keep his eyes open. Dusk, outside Nitram's parents' house. Nitram and Mum sit at a small table in the middle of the kitchen. Nitram reaches into his duffel bag on the floor. He hands Mum a small snow globe. She looks at it. She shakes it. She stares at it. Her smile fades.
I miss him.
Why don't you cry?
What?
When the police found him, he didn't cry. How come?
Just because I don't cry doesn't mean I'm not hurting. What about you? Why didn't you cry? Do you even miss him?
No.
He really loved you.
Well, I'd have to stick around, though.
Yeah, he was so unwell.
So? Everyone else feels shitty all the time, walks around feeling fucking sad. Why couldn't he? If anyone should have walked into that, damn, it was me. I'm the one no one listens to. I'm the retard.
Oh, don't say that.
You and Dad would always argue about it, wouldn't you?
No, we didn't.
Slow means the same thing, Mum. You know, different than all them kids who call me Nit Ram at school.
Well, that's not true. I'm your mother.
Oh.
Yes, I gave birth to you.
And sometimes I watch myself. But I don't know who it is that I'm looking at. Like, I can't get to him. If I could, I could just change him so that he was like everyone else, but I don't know how. So it's that I'm here, stuck here, like this, eating this shit, talking to you, all because I'm not a coward like him.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
It doesn't matter, Mum. Neither do I.
Mum's eyes well with tears. She rubs the side of her forehead. Tears well in Nitram's eyes. He takes his video camera and his duffel bag and leaves. Mum closes her eyes. Daytime. Outside Helen's house, Nitram loads his pellet rifle. He takes aim. The shot pierces one of several snow globes sitting on the hood of a rusty car. Another snow globe bleeds water. A snow globe explodes, spraying water in all directions. Nitram blinks. He stares at the targets. He looks at his rifle. Nitram walks with his duffel bag over his shoulder, his long hair blowing in the wind. He approaches a single-story brick building. On its front, a sign reads, "Guns and ammo, handguns, rifles, ammunition." Nitram looks at the sign. He looks around, inside the gun shop.
So, what can I help you with today? After pistols, shotguns, semi-autos.
That one just up from the bottom, in the middle there.
The one in the middle, the black one. That's the AR-15. That's a semi-auto. That's basically a civilian model to the M16 that they used in Vietnam. So you've got the sliding butt, so you can move it up and down. Nice and light, straight into the shoulder. Beautiful weapon. Takes 223 rounds, 30 round mags.
Do you want to have a look?
Yeah, can I?
Yeah, of course you can.
Just watch where you're pointing it and just, okay, make sure she's clear, yep. Then, without getting your fingers in the way, you press that button, bang, she goes, all right, there you go. Now, just before, sorry, safety's out. All right, so just make sure you get it right into your shoulder, right in here.
He points it at a customer.
Yep, get your 1 foot forward, lean into it.
He points it at the merchant.
Hey.
I'm just fucking around.
Just, right, lean into it.
Yeah.
Push forward. Just breathe in. And as you get to the top of your breath, just squeeze the trigger. Perfect. So what do you think? All good to go?
What do I think about what?
What do you think about the gun?
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are you after it? Are you interested in buying it?
Yeah.
You are? Okay, beautiful. Have you ever shot anything like this before?
Yeah, once or twice.
What did you use?
I used a rifle.
Was it a 22?
Yeah, it was a 22.
Okay. But you got to understand, these things got a bit more kick than a 22.
Yeah.
And was the 22 semi-auto?
No.
So you know the difference between semi-auto and auto? Yeah, you just, an auto, you just pull the trigger and you'll just empty the mag.
Yeah.
Okay, with these, you've got to click, 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 okay?
Yeah.
Each shot. The whole lot together, $5,000, and I'll give you 80 rounds of ammo as well. The price okay?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Nitram puts his duffel bag on the counter.
What do we got here?
Good enough.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep, that's fine. No dramas. Is there anything else you're after?
Shotgun.
Shotgun? Yeah, okay. Well, I think we've just got some new shipment in. So we'll go out and see Larry out the back. Do you want to go out and have a look at those?
Yeah.
Yep, all right, no dramas. This is the Daewoo 12-gauge shotgun. 10-round mag. Dust cover there. Just a little shoulder. Bang. Click. There we go with that. Be aware, it's a lot heavier than the AR-15.
It's cool looking, right?
It is, isn't it? Nice and modern. So same as before, just carefully. And you've got to hold it, and you've got to really control this one because she's going to kick. Right? She'll kick like a mule. So lift it up, keep it up high. Make sure you're looking through. And same as before with your breathing, same. Just gently squeeze the trigger. That's it, perfect. All right. What do you think?
It's good.
You like it?
It's heavy.
Okay, so what I can do with this one, it comes with a strap. I'll throw in a bag. You're looking at $3,000 for that, $5,000 for that.
Okay.
All right. The total of 8,000.
Okay.
Yep, okay. Yep. So have you got your gun license?
No.
You don't have one at all?
I don't have one.
You don't have one?
No.
Ah, okay.
I've got this.
Yeah, no, I know. I know you've got the money. That's fine. That's not a problem. Now look, it's
if you need more.
No. You're not registering the rifles.
What?
You're not registering these rifles, are you?
No.
No. Okay. So that's fine.
We don't need to register.
No. If you had wanted a handgun, there's no way I could have sold you a handgun. All right. So, Larry, can you do me a favour, mate? Can you just get me a couple of boxes of
12-gauge?
12-gauge for that. Get a spare mag.
Yep.
4 rounds, 223 for that?
223s, yeah, four of those, you know, it's 4 and 2, yep.
Yep, and just a nice bag for each, I think.
Two mags.
For each, two mags for each?
Two mags including that one, so
okay.
And just an extra.
Yeah, right?
And that's it, easy.
All right.
Too easy, mate.
Okay, good.
Too easy. All right.
Pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for your business.
We'll get him to do that, we'll go and do the money out the front.
No worries.
They leave a room filled with wall-to-wall rifles. Nighttime. At Helen's house, Nitram uses a fork to open a box on the cluttered pool table. He removes a revolver. He inspects it in the light of a desk lamp. Nitram aims the gun. Daytime. At the beach, Nitram sits in his Volvo. The passenger door open. He watches Jamie and another surfer walk up the stairs to the parking lot. They carry their surfboards. The top half of their wetsuits hang down, leaving them bare-chested. Jamie approaches the back of his car. Nitram exits his car.
Hey, Jamie.
Nitram beckons Jamie with his finger. Jamie hesitates.
What's going on? Come here.
Jamie approaches Nitram.
This is for you.
Nitram shows him the duffel bag full of guns.
It's for you.
Nitram holds out the revolver.
Come on. Didn't cost me much. Take one.
This is all that?
It's yours. Got it for you. Take one.
Jamie's wet blonde hair hangs over his face. They look at each other.
Let's take one.
Jamie slowly walks backward toward his car. Nitram watches. His smile fades.
What's wrong?
Nitram blinks repeatedly. In a field of tall grass, Nitram shoots a rifle at the rusted tin roof of a dilapidated house. He aims down the barrel of the rifle. The expended shells eject after each shot. Nitram lowers the rifle. He releases the magazine. It falls to the ground. Holding the rifle under his arm, he replaces the cap on his video camera. He walks through the field of tall grass, the duffel bag slung over one shoulder. He slings the automatic rifle over the other. At Helen's house on the veranda, Nitram swings a sword. He stands facing the front door.
I like your smile.
In the living room, Nitram lies shirtless on the floor, the turntable beside him. Nitram sits at the kitchen table, dogs mill about him in the hallway. Nitram walks out of the kitchen. He holds a bowl and eats with a spoon. He walks down the hallway and into the room with a large TV.
A youth club he ran was closed down 10 years ago amidst allegations he'd interfered with young boys.
What had happened was beyond this community.
He watches and eats.
Scotland's chief constable gave an early assessment of the enormity of the loss.
Terrible set of circumstances have occurred at Dunblane Primary School this morning. There's 13 children dead at the moment, two adults, and a number of children in the hospital.
And while Britain mourned the deaths of the innocent, it also struggled to find someone or something to blame for what had happened. The man who ran amok in the school gymnasium was well known to police and locals. A misfit, a loner, an oddball, a weirdo. Just some of the descriptions now emerging. He was mistrusted for his obsession with young boys and with guns.
Evil visited us yesterday, and we don't know why. We don't understand it, and I guess we never will.
People just wept on the streets, and there was fear, with mothers and fathers running. Some ran towards the town's primary school in terror at what they might find. Others hurried away, clutching their children, glad they're alive.
In a clothing store, customer's shop, Nitram walks in, his duffel bag over his shoulder. He walks down an aisle and looks at the customers. He scratches his head. He takes a shirt, a pair of jeans, a jacket and shoes. He uses a tape measure to measure a sports bag length. He walks towards the fitting room. In a small country home.
What's this one? That's the
AR-10.
AR-10?
Yeah.
It's a little heavier.
Yeah, it's a bit heavier, a bit longer. Different style, different weapon made by different people. Like Ford versus Holden, you know, it's preference. The same 20-shot semi-auto.
It's good too, though. It feels good.
Yeah. 900 for the AR-10 or 1,500 for both. That's with the three mags, and I've got some boxes of ammo. I'll chuck in some ammo for you. It's a good deal. Yeah.
Nitram places cash on the table. In the backyard, Nitram aims a gun. The men in his family watch.
Good.
Well done.
The man raises his eyebrows with a smile. At Helen's house, assorted rifles are lying on the pool table. Nitram takes an automatic rifle magazine. He walks around to the other side and loads the magazine with long bullets. Nitram vacuums the living room rugs. The dogs watch. Their tails wag. Nitram carries a plastic waste basket into the kitchen. The Great Dane watches him. Nitram takes the silverware from amongst the plates and leftover food crowding the table. With a gun in one hand, Nitram washes the top of the kitchen table. Nitram places a magazine in a drawer. He struggles to fit a submachine gun in another drawer. In the shower, Nitram rinses himself. Outside, Mum walks towards Helen's house. She carries a box. Nitram stands in the yard with the dogs.
Hello?
Nitram looks at her. She walks closer.
I bought pies.
In Helen's kitchen, now clean and organised, they sit at the table. Various small pies are on the table. Nitram picks at his food. Mum plays with hers. He smiles at her.
What are you doing tomorrow?
Nitram shakes his head.
It's a weekend, you should do something. Why don't you go dancing? You used to love dancing when you were a kid. Might meet a girl. Or maybe you... I don't know, maybe you've got a girl already.
I have.
Ah, what's her name?
Nitram plays with his food.
Riley.
Riley? Mm. That's a nice name. How did you meet her?
At the beach.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got that surfboard then. You could have asked her over for dinner tonight.
Nitram stares at the table. Mum's smile fades. She watches him take a bite of pie. She rubs the wedding band on her finger. Nitram stares at the pie on his fork. He looks at Mum. She smiles slightly and looks away. She rubs her palms together and looks around the kitchen.
Look at what you've done. It's really amazing. You've even cleaned the windows.
Nighttime, in Helen's bedroom, Mum tucks Nitram into the bed. She sits on the edge of the bed next to him. She looks at him and smiles. Mum kisses Nitram on the forehead. She turns off the lamp on the side table. The Great Dane and other dogs lie on the floor. Mum steps over them and out of the bedroom. More dogs lie in the hallway. She walks past them and down the stairs to the entrance. Mum stops and looks back up the stairs. Mum walks out the front door. She walks away from Helen's house along the veranda. And past the Volvo. Morning. Nitram sleeps. He lifts his head and reaches for the alarm. Nitram turns on his back. Mm. Sitting on the side of the bed, Nitram puts the pendant of the bull around his neck. Wearing only underwear, he walks past the dogs, into the hall, to the stairs. Nitram sits at the piano. The malnourished Great Dane, ribs showing, lies at the base of the bed. Nitram gets dressed in his new jeans, white shirt and dark jacket. He puts on his new white sneakers. He looks in the mirror and buttons up his shirt. He walks close to the mirror and looks into his eyes. He kisses his reflection. He slowly moves his face away, staring at himself. Outside Helen's house, Nitram carries the new sports bag. He opens the trunk of the Volvo and places the sports bag inside. Nitram drives down a residential street. He parks the car in the middle of the street and gets out. He walks around to the other side of the car and opens the doors. The dogs run out. Nitram picks up the bulldog and puts it on the street. Nitram closes the car doors. He walks around and gets in the driver's side. Nitram drives away, the surfboard on the roof. At the Seascape property, the Volvo approaches on the path through the field. Nitram arrives at the main house and parks the car. Nitram exits the car. He walks to the trunk and opens it. He closes the trunk with an automatic rifle in his hand. He walks toward the house. On the veranda, Nitram knocks on the door. He takes a step back. The door opens and he walks in. Nitram quickly walks out of the house and toward his car. Nitram looks at his car keys. He walks to the trunk and opens it. He places the rifle in the trunk and closes it. He gets in the driver's seat. Nitram backs the car away from the house. He drives down the curvy road through the green forest and alongside an inlet. From above, the shoreline of the cafe. People mill about the park area. Tables and umbrellas stand in front of the main restaurant. Buses and cars fill the grass parking lot. Nitram drives his car into the parking lot. He stops the car in front of a man and two children. He closes the trunk. He carries a sports bag on his shoulder. He walks towards the restaurant. People walk in all directions. He strides past them and into the restaurant. He stands at the entrance and looks around. Nitram steps out of the way for an older couple. He walks into the restaurant and looks around. He approaches a woman at the counter.
What can I get for this?
Nitram hands the woman change.
For a cup of juice. Is that okay?
The young woman turns to get his juice. Nitram stares at her. He takes the tray with a bottle of juice. Nitram walks past the tables and places his tray on an empty table. Nitram puts a sports bag on a chair. He sits down on another chair. He looks at the young woman at the counter and nods. She looks away. He takes a sip of his juice. Nitram eats fruit cocktail from a small plastic cup. He looks at the people outside. He looks at four young girls sitting at an outdoor table. He takes a bite. He looks at the young woman at the counter. He looks at the older couple he let go in front of him. He finishes his fruit cocktail and drinks its juice. Nitram unscrews the cap of the juice bottle and takes a drink. He removes the video camera from the sports bag. He places it on the table, removes the cap of the lens, and turns it on. He removes an AR-15 from the sports bag. He stands, walks, and raises it at Nitram's parents' house. Mum stands outside the house smoking. Mum stares off, her cigarette in her hand. She leans against the brick wall of the house. Behind her, inside the house, the TV shows scenes of the mass murder. cut to black. Words appear. On April 28, 1996, 35 people were killed and another 23 were wounded in Port Arthur, Tasmania. The lone gunman was sentenced to 35 life sentences. The events of that day resulted in an overhaul of Australia's gun laws and the introduction to a national firearms agreement. The reforms are agreed to in 12 days. Over 640,000 firearms are brought back by the government and destroyed. No state or territory has been fully compliant with the National Firearms Agreement. There are now more firearms owned in Australia than in 1996. Audio description written by Stacey and Henry Kaufman. Narrated by Matt McLaren. Described by Audio Eyes. Credits appear. Previous credits. The flash of a light bulb fades to reveal the bulb is in the shape of the word Stan that becomes white words on black. Stan Originals. The yellow bulbs of a marquee blink. On the marquee, Melbourne International Film Festival. In large red letters, Premier Fund. A multicoloured sparkling light moves sideways. In its wake, the words Wild Bunch International. A circle of fire appears. A man snaps his fingers, extinguishing the flame, revealing a straight-jacketed figure and the word Madman. It's gone in a puff of smoke. Blurry lights in motion reveal the words Good Thing Productions. Shades of green flow into the letters. The words disappear. Caleb Landry Jones, Judy Davis, Sean Keenan with Essie Davis and Anthony LaPaglia. Director, Justin Kurzweil. Writer, Sean Grant. Producers, Nick Badzius, Virginia Whitwell, Justin Kurzweil, Sean Grant. Executive producers, Nick Ford, Paul Weigard, Anthony LaPaglia. Executive producers, Alice Babbage, Jenny Layla. Associate producer, James Hewison. Director of photography, Jermaine McMiggan. Editor, Nick Fenton. Production and costume design by Alice Babbage. Makeup and hair supervisor, Fiona Rhys-Jones. Music by Jed Kurzel. Supervising sound editor, Steve Single. Casting, Nikki Barrett, CGA. Alison Telford, CGA. Kate Leonard, CGA. Financed in association with Nude Run International Sales, Wild Bunch International. Australian and New Zealand distributor, Mad Men. Produced with the Financial International Film Festival Premier Fund. Good Thing Productions. Stan Originals. Copyright 2021 Good Thing Productions Company Pty Ltd. Film Fest Limited.